Okay, we're in the Maamar Shlishi. We're up to Ois Samachay, page 140 in our print. We were going through the history of the Messiah, and I do want to point out that AB showed me that the chronology of the Karoyim before the Tzedukim Bebesusim, which appears to be here in the Kuzari, seems to be not accurate according to the history books. It could be that the Karoyim as a sect was later, but he may only mean that the Shita, the approach of the Karoyim was before Tzedukim Beisus. Now, Tzedukim Beisus were great people. They taught Artiu Kavadim Amsham Shadasarav Amanas the Kabul Press. Don't serve Hashem for reward. And somehow Talmidim understood that to mean that there is no reward. And it's very nice to say don't serve Hashem for a reward, but make sure you say at the end, but there is a reward. Because it just doesn't work that well. You know, you tell the kids you get a prize if you do it, but I don't want you to do it for the prize. It's okay. As long as there's a prize, you can say don't do it for the prize. But otherwise, it makes problems. So at any rate, getting back, we are here on page 140. The last thing we discussed was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, which is five lines from the bottom. And I mentioned to you the fact that historically, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai filled a gap. In Eretz Yisrael, they were the seven Nasiim. Beginning from Hillel. My class asked me once, I told them about the seven Hillel, and then Shimon, and then Gamliel, and then Shimon, and then Gamliel, and then Shimon. They were named alternating names, and then Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh had two sons, Shimon and Gamliel. So they asked me why no one ever named anyone after Hillel. They seemed to name after grandfathers, so why was anybody named after Hillel? So I told them, well, the 14th generation was someone named Hillel HaZaken who wrote the calendar. Actually, 13th generation, but that's a long time. So I don't know the answer. I don't know why.
There
could have been other sons, that's true. Could have been other sons that just didn't make it to the line. Okay, good. Good answer. But anyway, the point is that during that period of the seven Nisim, when Reb Shimon was killed, we call Reb Shimon HaNerag, was killed, there was a pause because he had a young son, and there was a pause in the line of Nisim, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai filled that void. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Talmud of Hillel, filled that void for a number of years, exactly how many years, I'm not sure, until Rabbi Gamliel ben Reb Shimon took over. Now, that was at the Churban. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was at the Churban. And as I mentioned yesterday, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made numerous takanis, zecher l'migdash. He was followed by Rabbi Gamliel of Yavne. Okay, because there were two Rabbi Gamliels, he's known as the Rabbi Gamliel of Yavne. Let's see what he says, and then I'll talk to you a little about this very colorful person. Metamina Rabbi Lezer ben Horkinis. I mentioned this yesterday. Lezer ben Horkinis, sheeshlei, a pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, mufor samim, betchudas amidas hakolam varas chadom malfu b'chachma chachamim. I mentioned to you yesterday, Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinis was also a colorful person. Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol was put into cheirim. He's the one who adamantly insisted that his shita be followed in a dispute, and did all kinds of tricks. He said the stream of water should flow the other way if I'm right, and the wall should fall down if I'm right, and all kinds of tricks so they should follow his opinion. And for that behavior, he was put into cheirim by the chachamim of the generation. What's amazing to me is that he cared so much. Like, what was the machlokes about? That he cared so much. You would think it was a machlokes about a fundamental question about God or about Klal Yisrael. They were arguing about a certain type of oven, if it's mekabel tumah. And it mattered so much to him that his opinion be followed that he carried on like this, and then he was put into cheirim, and he never recanted. He remained in cheirim. He accepted the cheirim on himself, and remained in cheirim until his last days. And then,
and what's greater even is the rabbanim who have to tell him you're in a cheirim on Rebbe Akiva, and he knew that that he's going to die in Misa Mishuna once this happens.
Well, it's close. That happened, but it happened at the end. At the end, when Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus was dying, they came to visit him, although they stayed Dalet Amos away, as is the rule of someone in Cherem. And Rabbi Eliezer said, you're going to pay for not having learned from me. You're going to suffer. Rabbi Akiva said, me too? And he said, Shalcha kosher mikulam. Your end will be more difficult than everybody's. Now, how you explain that, I can't explain it. It's not a type of conversation that exactly makes it into the books that we teach the children. Yeah, it's not something we emulate, though. We're not looking to get involved with cherims, and they were on a high level, and they were able to do it. It's true. Anyway, that was Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, Rosamund Hukas, same person. And then Metamid of Yishmael ben Elisha Kayan Gadol, who Rabbi Yishmael Shel Hecholois, Hakaras Pana Maisa Makava. There's three books that he wrote. Kiyada say they say him, Asha Yeroy La Medrega, Kroiva Minavua. Vuhu Amar, and this is the Kayan Gadol who said, Pamachas Nathnasti Lahaktik Tyrus, Risi Akatriel, Kohashem Tzavakis, Visharanian. He saw an image of God. This is actually the way we got yesterday. Metamid of Rabbi Yeshua, She'iru lohi im Rabbi Gamliel ha-devarim ha-yeduim. It happened with him, the famous story in Brachis with Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Gamliel was a tough Nasi and led, besides being the Nasi of Klai Yisrael, was the Rashiv in Yavna. And when he was too tough with Rabbi Yeshua, one time too many, the people rejected him and rebelled. And they put instead Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in his place, and he accepted it. I mentioned to you the other time, the godless of Rabbi Gamliel, they deposed him. They said, "You're Oisra Shashiva," and the Gemara says he didn't miss a moment in the Beis Medrash. You know, they said, "No more Rosh Hashiva," so he got off his Rosh Hashiva seat, and he went and sat in the crowd. And we had that in Yeshiva, Rav Shiner, you know, Rav Shiner, Rav Reuven Shiner was Rosh Hashiva 51 years. And his wisdom, he's a wise person, but his eyesight was failing him. He was skipping lines in class and his reading. It was just too much. And someone gently suggested that it's time for him to retire. And he said he'd think about it. And then he was at the Chumash Suda for his grandchild, in kindergarten, pre-1A. I don't even know what grade it is. And they asked him to speak to the boys. And he spoke to the boys. He said, "You know, boys, you're starting, and I'm finishing. And just like you got to know when to start, you got to know when to finish." And in that speech, he said he's retired. He came in the first day of this month. This was last year, and he was looking for a seat. The first day of this month, everyone's there, so there aren't enough seats, right? So Rabbi Scheider took a seat, and then no bacher would have said it's my seat. He took the seat of two people his age who learned the yeshiva. And someone gently told him, "Why don't you sit up front where you're sitting all the years?" He said, no, I'm not a yeshiva anymore. Now I'm the kollel." So he needed a seat in the kollel. So he has a seat in the kollel every day. But it takes, greatness to do that. Now when you retire, you can do it. When they depose you, it's very hard to do it. And that was the greatness of Gamliel. He's telling all this to explain that during the years of the Messiah, the Torah was very much alive. It was alive. There was a reason that it continued intact. Rabbi Yaisi, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, Shomru Alav, this is Rabbi Elazar Arach, about whom they said, if all the wise men of Klal Yisrael on one side of a scale, Rabbi Elazar Arach, Kavshniya, Machriyas Kula. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was also a very colorful, person. He's the one who at one point forgot his learning because he refused to go to Yavna. Everyone went to Yeshiva and he went, he had a wife that liked Miami Beach. They're equivalent to Miami Beach. And he, instead of settling there, she said, "Let's go to a place where the weather is good and the fruits are good." And he forgot his learning. He got an aliyah. And the custom was that the one who got the alein, instead of a chaydish hazel lachem, he read hachare shay alibam. And ultimately he went back to Yavna and went back to his learning. So the moral of the story is to stay with the yeshiva. Don't try to go on your own.
The story was not to listen to your wife.
It was not to listen to your wife. Depends who the wife is. some people listen to their wives and did well. But okay. Ubeila had dairais, sulasi elu amufrasamin. Now he's making a point. In these generations that you mentioned, before these famous, besides these famous people, Vizulas Hamay Chachamim, Vizulas Akrayim Alavim, Shaisa Tayrosam Umnasam, besides the many who sat and learned, like Pascha Shem Sanhedrin Chachmasam, there was still a Sanhedrin. Then the Sanhedrin moved constantly to stay a step ahead of the Romans. But there was a Sanhedrin even after the Churban. Appointments were made through them. How do I know that? Kama Shamru, Omer Rab Shimon ben Azai, Kach Makubal Ani Mepishim Zekain and Biyayim Sheheshiva was Rabbi Elazar Yeshiva. They appointed Rabbi Elazar in the Yeshiva. Who appointed him? The Sanhedrin. Nimshachim Achar Hashivim Meis Shloih Hayu Kamaisam. Nimshachim Achar Hameis Alafim. Okay, it's like this. They had Shivim. Then they had Meis Shloih Hayu Kamaisam. They had people waiting. Hundreds who waited, and as a member of Sanhedrin would pass away or retire, he would be replaced. Then there were thousands who learned Torah. They constantly had different levels. The 70 were chosen from hundreds, the hundreds from thousands, etc. Achrei Eilu Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tafim v'Chavareyim, Kulam Achar Chorben. Okay, it's... The names we learn in the Gemara, we don't always place properly. Rabbi Kiva was after the Churban. He was the time Bar Kaichva. Vigir Rabbi Kiva al Gvul Karav Ma'anavua. Rabbi Kiva reached the Madrega close to Navua, Chi Amishtamish Ba'olam Aruchniyim. Kasha'om Rolav Arba'a Nichtesula Paradise. Now we're going to come now to the Paradise story. I do want to point out that in the footnote here, I think he says that we don't have a Gemara that says that Rabbi Kiva was Karav Navua. That Lashon. But anyway, we come now to the story of the paradise, and I think we mentioned it once before. The Gemara says that Arba nichnesu l'paradise. The way Rashi translates, four people were picked up in Olam Hazeh and deposited in the orchard, the heavenly orchard where the secrets of Torah are taught. And the Gemara says the four had four very different outcomes. One of them stayed there, he never came back to this world. One of them lost his sanity. One of them lost his frumkeit, that was Acher, and one of them, Rabbi Kiva, came back and was Rabbi Kiva. Now, the Kuzari is written by someone contemporary, almost a contemporary of Rashi, and he does not go with the idea that they were physically taken from this world and deposited somewhere, and he explains that all four of them reached a level in their understanding of Torah that was too... it's dangerous for this world. He explains as follows. Amru Olav, they said regarding Rabbi Kiva, Arba nichtesu l'paradis. Four people went into the paradis. Echad hitzitu meis. One looked, we shouldn't have looked, that he died. Dying meaning he never came back to this world, he stayed there. Achar echad hitzitu v'nifka. One looked and he lost his mind. Echad hitzitu katzis v'netiyas. One looked, Katzis ben Natias is the lashon of being an apikiris. Echad ba b'shalom v'yatzah b'shalom umanei Rabbi Kiva. And the one who was able to sustain such an experience of pure spirituality was Rabbi Kiva. V'hoya ha-meis, now he explains that Gemara. Hoya ha-meis mishloi sovo riyas aylamahu achiniskar kaftai. The one who died, when he saw the secrets of the paradise, Nitka Harkafta, he couldn't come back to his physical world. The Harkava of the Neshama and the Guf was something he couldn't lower himself to go back to the Guf. Hasheni Nifka of Nitra Fadaita, Yatirafa Laki, Veloy Hailu Bai Binayadam. The other one went crazy and nobody was able to, communicate with him. Hashlishi, now here, regarding Acher, Acher is a mysterious character in Shas. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yechonah said, Chad Hava Beinon, that there was one who, among the great Rabbanim of the time, who lost it. Chad Hava Beinon. There was one who lost his, not his Emuna, but his Frumkeit. That's Elisha ben Avuya, who is known as Acher. Now, what happened to him exactly? The way Rashi explains the Gemara, he thought that no matter what he did, he wouldn't go to Olam Haba. Now, how an intelligent person could think so is is a story unto itself, but he felt that it was his gairal not to go to Elam Abba. Shuvu banim shayvivim chutz me'acher. That Acher can't come to Elam Abba. That's the way Rashi explains. That's not the way he explains it. He explains it as follows. Hashlishi hifsin amaisim and neshehishkif ala sichliim. He became too philosophical. Omar, now listen to this. Ela hamaisim, all the mitzvahs, hem kelim u'mishamshim magiyin ela adrogaz aysaruchni. What do you do a mitzvah? Does God care if you shecht an animal or you don't shecht an animal, if you shake a lulav or you don't? There are only ways of reaching spiritual heights. V'ani kvar higati elea, and I already reached the spiritual heights, v'loi argish amaisa hatayra. And it doesn't matter anymore if I do the acts the Torah commands. V'nifsid v'ifsid v'toa v'hissa. Now, that's what he's saying. He's saying that he understood that mitzvahs are not purposeful in and of themselves. They're a way of climbing a madrega and serving Hashem. Excuse me? That what? Mitzvahs Yisharim is based on a price. It says that the mitzvahs are a means to reach higher levels, and that's 100% true. Nevertheless, the mitzvahs are in and of themselves purposeful as well. So it's both. And he only understood the Mitzvahs Yisharim's ladder. There is a maimer of Chazal, incredible Gemara. Gemara says, V'chima ich b'slei l'akadosh baruch hu, im sheichet meizonov, a sheichet meitzavar. Does God care if you shech the animal by its neck or by its tail? Ella le'nidna ha-mitzvus, ella le'tzarif behemes abriyas. The mitzvahs are given to purify the person. Now, that's saying that the purpose of the mitzvah is to purify the person. Now, nevertheless, we say, estakel b'raisa b'rayalma, that the world was created based on the Torah, and every time you do something that the Torah commands, it accomplishes something. Like we say by Svira, l'sakim b'emes a'ilamais. And according to his explanation, Acher misunderstood that. This would explain, for example, the Gemara says, why did it happen to Acher? Because his father was too much into Greek philosophy. It says by his father had Sifra Yevanim were sticking out of his pocket.
Didn't he see his son who went up a ladder, fell and died? That his father told him to go and get his son.
Yerushalmi says that. Yerushalmi says that he saw somebody was Isaac in Kibbutz Aveim and Shluch HaKein, and he died. He said, how could it be? Yeah, so that would not fit this explanation.
But the only reason why he thought like that is because he learned the philosophy.
It was still philosophical. Yeah.
Their philosophy was that there is no makor attachment to something that's happening. She said, look what happened. So you see, it's right here that Hashem doesn't fear the world.
You see, but the problem is he continued to believe in the Rabbeinu Shlomo. The Gemara says, they bring it here in the bottom, that Acher, yeah, the Acher was going with Remeir. Acher was riding a horse on Shabbos, which is Asura. And Remeir was walking along, learning from him. And then Acher said, Remeir, it's 2,000 Amos, you gotta stop. You gotta stop. So he brings the story here on the bottom. It's in the Eitzer Nechmat on the left side, all the way on the left, about the eighth line. Remeir was learning from him. I counted with the steps of my horse. He says, if I didn't believe in this stuff, why was he teaching him in the first place? How did he trust his Torah?
That's not what he's saying.
He's saying a different thing. He's saying that he felt that the purpose of mitzvahs is to reach a certain level. And since he originally reached the level, it wasn't necessary to do the mitzvahs. That's how he's explaining it. Since he reached that level, he doesn't have to do mitzvahs anymore. He did it already. You know, it's like someone who is given a job to do, he finishes his job, and now he doesn't have to do it anymore. That's how he's explaining Acher, the story of Acher. I agree, it's not what Rashi says, but that's his explanation. At any rate, Rabbi Kiva, Mishtamish Mishtehoi Lamais, Babli Nezek, Shehesigai, nothing happened. The Kvar Nemrol of Roy, Husha Tishrol of Shchina Kemaisha, Elishena Shari Rilakach. Maisha Rabbeinu was right for the Shchina of Wimi Asara Ruge Malchus, Bishar Shahargu. Now here it also, it's slightly different than the way we learn it. He says, when they killed him, Hayeshaya le Talmidav imu es Kriyashmalik Rayaisa. He asked this Talmidim, is it, does my Kriyashma yet? Amalav Talmidav Rabbeinu Atkan? Amalav Kal Miyama, Isim Itstara, Mikrazeh, Bechol Navshecha, Atul Maitel Es Navshecha, Ashavadi Leia Kemenu, Hayamarach Be'achod, Achiyotza San Nishmasai. So, the story is the same, the details, he explains differently. Amalav Kuzari, Kizeh, Yiyah HaChayim HaRevim, something like Rabbi Kiva is Roy is appropriate. Okay, so this is where we're up to. Sama Zayin still continues a bit with the history. We're almost done with the Maimar Shlishi, which goes, I think, to Ayin Dalit.